Buckle up at the tip and one by the Cavaliers, and we are underway.
Now it's Mitchell. Mitchell twirls between two of the Hawks. Oh, what a dandy of a move. Sam Merrill. Oh, wow.
Angles off an Allen screen. Steps back for three. Hey, nailed it. Mobley through track to the basket. Oh, my.
Mitchell just crossed over Holiday. His three is perfect. Oh, mercy.
Tell you what, that is a big time.
Welcome to another edition of the It's Cavalier podcast. It's your boy, Mac. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to discuss a couple of quick things. Now, we got to watch game number four of Summer League for our Cleveland Cavaliers. Game number five, if I'm not mistaken, will take place on Friday against the Chicago Bulls. We did not get more Malik Thomas. There was no Naquan Tomlin, no Tristan Inaruna. Those three did not suit up in today's festivities. And you know what? I was okay with that. I've been on record saying numerous times now, there is nothing that Naquan Tomlin could show me in Summer League that would move me one way or another in terms of his prospects of making the rotation this season. For Tristan Inaruna, I really, really wanted to see more of him this Summer League, but that just has not been the case. And obviously, with Malik Thomas, the Cavaliers' second-round selection, the 31st overall pick, who looks like a first-round talent, by the way, there's nothing else that truly needed to be seen. Now, objectively speaking, I did want to see more Thomas today. But after everything that we have seen from him through the first three games of Summer League, I don't know if there really needed to be more minutes played by him, because he has showcased almost the entire package with the exception of maybe on the defensive side of the basketball. But he's just been so damn good, offensively speaking, that there was no real case to have him out there to risk potential injury after watching him absolutely light things up and leading the Summer League play in terms of points per game. If you have been somehow missed all of Summer League action up to this point, or you've been living under a rock, or you're just not really big on watching the summer exhibition games, because I know a lot of people feel like this stuff just does not matter, when I could not disagree more. But if for whatever reason you missed it, Malik Thomas this Summer League averaged 28.3 points per game, which again, entering today, had been number one. 4 rebounds, 4.3 assists, showcasing a above average ability to make plays. I'm not going to go as far as to say that this guy is Tyrese Haliburton. I know that's the comparisons that he has drawn, or that he is a floor general out there, but he is a much better playmaker than previously anticipated by a lot of people, including your boy. But here's the deal. It's not, to me, the ability to straight up score buckets out there. It's how efficiently he has done so. This dude has shot 50% from the floor, including 45.8% from three-point distance, on really, really high volume at that. He has been absolutely efficient as hell out there with that three-point shot. It's just been absolutely phenomenal to see. On 8 attempts per game, he is knocking down 3.7. He was taking over 20.7 shots per contest and knocked down 50% of his field goals. We have seen players come and go throughout the confines of Summer League and throw up a ton of shots and score a ton of points, but we just hadn't really seen the efficiency quite like this. And it's just 85 points in 3 games. That deserves to be commended. So shouts out to Malik Thomas for the absolutely amazing Summer League that he has had. He's got everybody talking about him, everybody buzzing, even non-Cavaliers fans. One of the things that really I have enjoyed watching about Malik Thomas has been the ability to create separation out there at the point of attack, getting downhill, whether that is to get to that floater or to finish around the rim, which was honestly a potential con of his entering the league. No ceilings, very, very credible draft people over there had that as one of his biggest cons, being rim pressures, right? This is a direct quote from No Ceilings in terms of their overall scouting report on Thomas. Because Thomas is still developing physically and may not project as a full-time lead guard, his rim pressure currently comes with some limitations. He does not consistently generate or finish through contact at a high level, which could place more pressure on his jump shot and off-ball value offensively. Now, I know this is summer league, and I totally understand that you have to take this with a grain of salt, and it was just three appearances, three games, but I feel like he's done all of that, right? He has finished through contact. He has absorbed it. He has been efficient around the rim. He has been efficient with the floater. He has created separation. He has been able to get to his spots. We hope that continues moving forward as he begins his rookie season. But at the end of the day, I feel like he has done just about everything that you could have wanted to see out of him. The playmaking, the three-point shot is very, very real. Again, shooting above 45% from three-point distance on high volume. The ability to go out there and wreak havoc as someone as a disruptor, getting deflections out there. He's averaged 2.3 steals. And while there still can be some lapses at times on that end of the floor, he is way better in terms of that side of the basketball than I had previously mentioned. And my real question in regards to Malik Thomas is this, because I never doubted his talent, never doubted his skill. It's about where he's going to play. Now, we know that it's been reported all the livelong day that Dennis Schroeder is being shopped in an effort for the Cavaliers to shed some salary. Now, my question is, if that does end up occurring, which is still a very real possibility, would Kenny Atkinson, because it technically could open up a pathway for minutes. There's still a major uphill battle. There's still a lot of mouths to feed in that guard rotation. But theoretically speaking, I suppose you could play Malik Thomas early as your lead guard off the bench, knowing that we have seen the ability to create for not only himself, but for others as well. I'd be very interested to see if Kenny Atkinson would lean into that and trust a rookie. Now, obviously, the current history and the trends have suggested otherwise. I know there's still a LeBron-sized shadow looming over Cleveland, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But to me, there is a real opportunity for shot creation off the bench if you play Malik Thomas. I'm very intrigued to see what he could potentially bring to the table in year one, although I do not expect him to play a whole bunch year one. That to me, though, he has showcased basically everything you could have wanted out of him through this summer league environment. The real question outside of that is, where would he play, right? If you're not going to play him at that lead guard spot, and instead you're going to lean into staggering the minutes of Donovan Mitchell and James Harden as the lead guard with the bench unit, or you're giving minutes to Craig Porter Jr., or you're going another route, I really do question where he would suit up at. I think a good parallel here in terms of the size, because that's what everybody points to. Everybody says he's bigger than 6'3" without shoes, although I think that gets blown out of proportion, as we have to remember they don't play basketball without shoes. They wear shoes when they're on the court. So he is closer to 6'4.5" out there when he is playing with shoes, which is about Sam Merrill sized. And that's the connection I'm bringing here and trying to bridge the gap in terms of the positional overlap is this. Sam Merrill has played no less than 52% of his minutes at the small four position over the last three seasons. I honestly, in seeing this dude out on the court, in seeing this young man play defense, and seeing this man move without the ball, I absolutely believe that there's probably viability in playing him in certain lineups as a three. Do I want to see that all the time? Absolutely not. But we do know that Kenny Atkinson does love his three-guard lineups. Some of that is by nature. Some of that is because of roster construction and not having the size that we all want and envision at that spot. But he has done this with Max. He has done this with Sam. He has done this with Jalen and others on the roster. Keon, right? Multiple names that you could reel off in that regard. So I would not put it past Kenny Atkinson to potentially play Malik Thomas at not only the two, but the three, and hell, maybe even the one at times if they're feeling a little funky out there. But to see him have the positional versatility, that was something that was really impressive to watch. I think he could play both on the ball, he can play both off the ball, and that will be a good thing moving forward for him. I think he'll probably have to earn the contributions or the minutes early on through his contributions on the defensive side of the basketball and as an off-ball shot. But time will tell in regards to Malik Thomas. The other player that is technically rostered by the Cavaliers that did suit up in most of summer league outside of Tristan Inaruna and Riley Minix is Ernest Udeh Jr., the Cavaliers' newest two-way signing. He averaged 4.5 points, 5.8 rebounds, 1.5 steals, 1.5 assists, 2.3 blocks, and he shot 40% from the field and just 50% from the charity stripe through the first four games of Summer League action. I'll tell you what, I was really excited when the Cavaliers signed Ernest Udeh Jr., and there's still a large part of me that wants to believe that this is a player, considering the Cavaliers' unique needs and his unique strengths, that should possibly see minutes in the regular season. I am not expecting him to play a ton, but based on the Cavaliers' track record and recent history as it relates to two ways, I do believe that there is an opportunity for Ernest Udeh Jr. to see the floor in his rookie season. I think they have been dying for a big that can rim roll consistently off the bench, that will set devastating screens, that will play defense and protect the rim, right, at a high level. I was really impressed outside of everything else, because Summer League is not a great environment for bigs like him, a traditional big, to showcase his talents unless he is playing beside a true league guard. Outside of that, defensively, I was really impressed with his ability to protect the rim. There was some high-level sequences in terms of blocking shots out there. I thought that he did protect the rim relatively well. I wasn't as impressed in terms of the rebounding, but it could have been worse. 5.8 boards is not terrible, but at the same time, I had hoped to have seen more in that regard. But overall, I think defensively, he was as expected, and from an offensive perspective, if you contextualize things in a specific way, that being he's not necessarily playing with a true lead guard or a floor general type out there, he could probably be more impactful offensively. But he does rim roll, he can get out in transition, he probably could use a little bit of work in terms of the hands out there, right? His hands not as soft as I thought they could potentially be in terms of catching the ball. I think these are things that can be worked on. But Ernest Udeh Jr., definitely somebody that I think was worth the two-way deal. Somebody who I am ready to move on from, you guys probably already know who I'm going to say, that, my friends, would be Riley Minnix. No disrespect to Riley Minnix. I know he came on strong in the latter half of the season for the Cleveland Charge last year, but I have seen all I need to see out of Riley Minnix. I just do not think that this is a NBA caliber player. He, quite honestly, has been atrocious in terms of efficiency this Summer League. It has not been a great Summer League for my guy. It just has not. And I had expected more for him considering the way that he did play with the Charge just this past season. But I'll tell you what, it just has not been a great Summer League for my guy. I think he is shooting something like 1 for 20 or something like that from three-point distance, which is just absolutely horrific. It has not been good, and I truly do hope that the Cavaliers scour the landscape, see who could potentially be available, who they could sign to a two-way deal, and let Minnix walk. And rarely do I go at a player like that in terms of their potential chances to make NBA. I'm not trying to be a dick about it. I'm just saying I do not believe Riley Minnix is the type of guy that will be useful at the next level. I would prefer to go another direction. I would honestly hope that the Cavaliers feel that same way after watching what they have watched through these four games, but who knows? Maybe they see something that we don't in Minnix. I'm just ready to move on. That's really as eloquently as I can put it, just because I have not seen enough in his game to warrant the ability that will translate. And I know this is a guy who's really, really solid shooter from three-point distance, but that shot has just abandoned him. It has not been there. It has not been pretty to watch throughout the Summer League play. He shot 30.8% from the field and 5% from three-point distance. He is attempting 5 triples per game and quite literally knocking down 5%. That is not good. It's time to move on. That's about all I can say about Riley Minnix. In terms of some of the others on this Summer League roster, you have to factor in Malachi Branham, I suppose, who, you know, I probably pretty decent summer league showing, all things considered. And you expected that much, considering that he does have NBA experience under his belt. 15.8 points per game for him, 3.8 boards, 45.5% from the field, including 33.3% from three-point distance. Nothing truly to write home about in terms of the efficiency out there, but he has made some shots, and he is obviously putting up some points. So kudos to Malachi Branham. I do believe that he could stick on an NBA roster. I just don't think, obviously, that it's going to be with Cleveland. But outside of that, I don't really think there's anybody else worth truly having a real discussion over. Xavien Lee, he played as you probably would have predicted, not double-digit scoring, does bring some playmaking juice to the table. The three-point shot is just not anything to write home about. Rashawn Agee, nothing there in terms of the three-point ability. I have seen the floater out of him. I have seen some solid screen setting, but these are probably guys who are probably going to stick with the Cleveland Charge, and there's no problem with that. I suppose you could probably talk about Jackson Robinson. He's had a pretty solid showing as of late in terms of that three-point shot. So that's been okay, right? 37% from three-point distance on roughly 6.8 attempts per contest. That's where the bulk of his attempts have come from, and he has been solidly efficient. He averaged 10.3 points through these first four games. But outside of those guys, not too much else to speak on. As I mentioned before, Naquan Tomlin, he had a good summer league showing in limited action, and there's nothing that he could have shown me in this environment that would have swayed me one way or another in terms of his NBA prospects. We need to see that three-point shot translate consistently at a NBA caliber against NBA caliber competition. And that's summer league in a nutshell. We got what we wanted from Malik Thomas. He looks like a first-round talent. Hell, he looks like a top 10, a no worse than a lottery-level talent. And the Cavaliers got him in the second round on a cheap contract. A win-win in Kobe Altman's, a feather in Kobe Altman's cap, rather. You got to see enough, I suppose, from Ernest Dudé Jr. And that's really it, man. And so we turn our attention to the next major domino to fall, and that be LeBron James. We need to know what is going on with LeBron. By the time that most of you are probably going to be listening to this, I assume that will be Thursday morning, and we'll probably all be hoping that a decision is made Thursday evening. There's so much that could change with this roster still, but none of that is going to occur until we have an answer in regards to the LeBron of it all. He's held up basically every major decision that the Cavaliers will end up making this offseason because he represents that big of an upgrade relative to what the Cavaliers could have realistically afforded. He, outside of Jaylen Brown, outside of Giannis, that is probably the best available player. And if you can get him on a cheap veterans minimum contract or for the non-taxpayers mid-level exception or for the taxpayers mid-level exception, that's a win. If you get Bronny, which it does not seem like they're going to, it does seem like LA is going to have him stay put based upon some of the articles that have been put out recently. But if you get Bron and maybe you swing for the fences and you're able to sign and trade for Jonathan Kuminga, which is still very possible, that's a great offseason, all things considered. When you talk about where the Cavaliers stand with assets and cap space, that is a good spot to be in if you're able to accomplish that. Hell, even if you just get LeBron, you could still make a case that this has been a pretty good offseason, all things considered, with how Thomas has looked and how LeBron would affect things in terms of the wing depth. Not a perfect roster, still some flaws. You did lose your best perimeter defender in Dean Wade, but I don't think that is something that would be such a huge loss that LeBron's addition wouldn't be able to overcome, considering what he brings to the table, some of the strengths. Before we go any further, shout out to Chris Hanford, who says, big shout out to you, bro, and your videos. I appreciate you, man. Thanks for the $2. I'm trying to put in the work. I know sometimes it's a grind, but you guys make it worth doing. No one says worried about PTI title. Yeah, I saw that, and people saying that PTI, you know, ESPN could potentially be, leaking LeBron's next decision, i.e. what we're seeing is PTI's, I think, podcast episode says, and I quote, Steph Curry behind LeBron's stunning Warriors decision. Kawhi is back. Ignore the Kawhi part. That's not important. But LeBron's stunning Warriors decision. Obviously, that would allude to the fact that LeBron chose to sign with the Golden State Warriors juxtaposed to the Cleveland Cavaliers or the Miami Heat or the Philadelphia 76ers or any other team that could potentially harbor interest in LeBron. I'm not all that worried by that. If there was anybody that was going to leak his next destination, I don't mean this with any disrespect, but I don't think it would be PTI. You know, with all respect being due to Tony Kornheiser and company, Frankie Sola, I believe, I don't think that's the spot where this news would be broken. I just don't. Maybe it was a decision that was made to try and spark interest in that episode, generate some streams. We know that people have done that in the past, but I'm not all that worried about that if I'm being honest. If we're being objective and we actually end up finding that that is the decision that LeBron comes to, I view this in two ways. Number one, I know that LeBron would love to play with Steph Curry. I know that he would love to play with Draymond Green. I know that he respects Steve Kerr and, you know, they still got Jimmy Butler, if I'm not mistaken, over there. So, I mean, it's not exactly like a bad destination. He would be staying technically closer to home. And if Bronny ends up staying with LA, then yeah, you can definitely see the case for it. As opposed to him moving all the way across the country to come back to Cleveland, Ohio. But to me, I don't think he would elect to do that because of the legacy that it could potentially tarnish. Now, I am of the opinion that LeBron owes Cleveland nothing. I think that that needs to be said. He brought a championship to Cleveland. He did what he said he was going to do. It wasn't just him, right? Let's give Kyrie and company some credit. But LeBron owes Cleveland nothing. I know that people still have the lingering effects of the decision in the back of their minds, and they might think that LeBron owes Cleveland at least a hey, I'm not signing with you guys. But at the end of the day, he doesn't owe anybody anything. If he does decide to sign with the Golden State Warriors, while I would be sickened to my core, I would respect that decision. I think it would be a dumb decision, juxtaposed to playing with the Cavs and some of the talent on their roster, but I certainly understand the decision, right? This is not just about money. It's not just about winning. I think it's, to him, it's about happiness. And that's the quote that we saw. This is going to be a happiness-based decision. And we know that he has expressed an affinity for wanting to play with Steph Curry and all this, that, and the fourth. And we know the family aspect of it, not being super far away from Bronny and Savannah and the rest of the family, right? Totally understand that. But I'm not worried about him going to Golden State. But as part of it, man, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he does go there. Maybe he elects to go elsewhere and doesn't sign with Cleveland. But I think for a guy that clearly loves to control the narrative, for a guy that cares about what the public perception of himself is, I don't think there's any other choice that can be made that would be viewed in a better light than returning where you started it all back in Cleveland. That's just my thoughts on it. That's my opinion. I'm hoping that we get a decision sooner or later so that we know which direction this team is going to head in terms of filling out the rest of the roster and addressing other flaws, making other moves. But until that's done, we're in a holding pattern, much as we were before the draft. So we'll see what ends up happening on LeBron Watch. But if for nothing else, Summer League has given us the opportunity to kind of not have that be at the forefront of our attention. For a society that has such a short attention span, myself included, it's been a nice distraction. I think that for the organization, they obviously picked a winner in Malik Thomas. This dude, this young man, 19 years of age, he has a certain intensity, a certain fire about him that just, you don't see it as often in young players. Just 19 years old, again, seems very, very focused, chip on his shoulder from being picked in the second round, and you hope that that continues to show on the surface in the regular season and beyond. I hope that he continues to play with that same level of intensity, because the league could be in for something special if that is the case, if he's actually given those opportunities and he earned his way there. And I'm a huge believer that competition breeds success, and pushing the rest of these guys on this roster. We know that Tyrese Proctor is still around. I'm tired of people downplaying his talent. I'm very excited about the potential development of Proctor and Thomas. I'm still a huge believer in Jalen Tyson. I still think that Naquan Tomlin has an opportunity to earn minutes this season. Like, I don't think the Cavaliers are in a bad spot in terms of development if they actually let these guys play, right? I think they are in need of some of the skills that are being brought to the table by these young players, but although that means nothing if they're not getting the opportunities to do so. But at the very least, we've gotten a bit of a distraction with summer league play. I think that's a perfect place to end off tonight's stream, though. I appreciate you guys for showing out. Hopefully on Friday, we'll have already had an answer about what LeBron's doing, but time will tell. He seems to be taking his time with his decision, and it just feels like it's never ending. That being the case, if you want to support the show, you know how you can become a member over on Patreon or on YouTube for as little as $1. If you want to reach out to your boy, you know how you can. It's cavalier53@gmail.com or it's cavalier_pod on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and more. But even if you don't do any of these things, like, share, subscribe, hype the video up, all that good stuff. But even if you don't, you know your boy will still be here creating the content, because I love this team and I know you guys do too. Have a good night.